So this morning, I have for a title, The Children's Bread. The Children's Bread. The Children's Bread. Our main text will be taken from the book of Matthew chapter 15 from verse 21 to 28. Media, please, you will help me this morning. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 21 to 28, The Children's Bread. I'm sure you are wondering, what's the children's bread? Is it Westmead bread or Foodco bread or which other one? You people will know it. Maybe it's food. You will know it. You will know it. Especially this Lillian. All right. So we are going to read together. He said, so from verse 15, we are going to read to verse 20. No, from verse 21. Is it verse 21? Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Okay, so let's go together. One, two, go. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed with a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, It isn't right to take from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat these scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Let's bow down our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that as we approach your word this morning, we ask, oh God, that you let light shine through it into our hearts this morning, in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that everyone under the influence of my voice will be blessed and be transformed in the name of Jesus. One thing I ask, oh God, and one thing I desire as I stand on this altar this morning, I ask, oh God, that your word will bring life to those who hear it this morning in the name of Jesus. The sick will be healed. The confused will receive clarity. And those who do not have sight, be it spiritual sight or physical sight, they will receive it by your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Your word said you sent your word and you healed them of their diseases. Father, I ask that as this word goes forth, it will be backed up with signs and it will be backed up with wonders. Thank you, everlasting Father. For in Jesus' name I have prayed. One of the things I'm trusting God to do through today's sermon is to get you to a point where you are so convinced, you are so sure that God loves you so much. That's number one. Number two, that God is a good God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is a good God." So this morning, I want you to know how good God is. I want you to see how good God is through the lens of the cross. A lot of Christians all around the world are living below the standard of the kingdom of God simply because the devil has found empowerment through their ignorance. The devil has found empowerment through the ignorance of God's children, because we think God is not good, because we feel like God doesn't love us. So the devil comes and then he just steals what belongs to us. A lot of people find it hard to still even believe that there is a devil. See, the devil is so real. I know that this might be sounding, why are you talking about the devil? I will talk about the devil. Do you know why I will talk about the devil? Because he is real. The devil is what? The devil is real. There is a devil somewhere. There is a devil somewhere. However, I have good news for you. And I hope that by the time I share this good news, you will clap your hands. So the good news is that we have a Savior. And the name of that Savior is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So what is the children's bread? It's very simple. What's the children's bread? Healing. Healing is the children's bread. So this woman came to Jesus and she said she needed healing. Apparently, the woman was a Gentile. But Jesus was telling her that, look, I did not come for all of you people. I'm here for a particular set of people. But the woman lied down and said, even if now the crumbs that falls from the master's table, I would take it like that. And she got her healing. Now, that woman was not a child of God because according to how it was at that time, she wasn't. But do you know the beautiful thing about this story, about this whole thing? Whether she was a child of God or not, it's none of our business. We are in a different league. Say, I am in a different league because I am a child of God. Now, let me show you something in John chapter 1 and verse 13 very quickly. John chapter 1 and verse 13. John chapter 1 and verse 13. So by the time we finish reading this scripture, you will tell me whether healing is your bread or it is not your bread. All right? So, John chapter 1, verse. So I want us to read it from verse 1 very quickly. I want us to read it from verse 1. It's going to be a long read, though. All right, please, you have to be very fast with me. In the beginning was the Word, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Next. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Next. Quickly, please. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, which is Jesus, that all men through him might believe. Next. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. Verse 13. Which were born not of flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say, I am born of God. You are born of God. Because you are born of God, because you have received adoption to sonship, healing is your bread. Turn to your neighbor. Say, healing is your bread. You are going to be talking to your neighbor a lot this morning. Healing is, so those of you that have already been keeping malice with your neighbor, today is the day we settle that fight. Healing is your bread. In other words, healing is the children's portion. Instead of saying healing is, okay, maybe bread is too, Paul is too kind, he likes food too much. Healing is your portion. Healing is your portion. Or better still, we can boldly say, healing is the right of God's children. It is your right to be healed. It is your right to be healed. Initial thoughts. I have some initial thoughts I would like to share with us as I proceed this morning. God has not created a world where sicknesses and diseases will thrive. He hasn't. He didn't create a world where sickness will be killing everybody. If that was the case, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to die for us. I mean, why would I send my only begotten son to die just for the fun of it? He didn't create this world for sicknesses and diseases to thrive. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says that when he called the 12, I'm trying to paraphrase now, when he called the 12, the Bible says that he gave them authority and power. To do what? To drive out sicknesses, to drive out disease, to drive out impure spirits. So healing is your bread. And God did not create this world for sicknesses and diseases to thrive. The reason why sicknesses and diseases are thriving is simply because children of God are not taking a stand. So this morning I want to get you to a point where you take a stand against sickness and diseases. Do you know why? Because healing is your bread. If you are not taking anything away from this service this morning, take this. Healing is your portion. Healing is God's desire. Healing is God's will for you. God wants to heal you. There are so many places in the Bible where Jesus will meet somebody and they will say that, if it is your will, heal me. Jesus, It is my will. That is the reason why I am here. I am here simply because I want you well. What is the ministry of Jesus? Give me Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. So we see why Jesus came. See, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to do what? To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The mission of Jesus. Again, say, healing is my bread. Healing is your bread. So God has not created a world where sickness and disease will thrive. As a matter of fact, he has given us authority over them. Your understanding of God's goodness is the beginning of good health in your body. In other words, the moment you have a deep understanding of how good God is, you begin to live in good health and sound mind. As I press forward, I'm going to explain this particular point very well, but I need to move quickly. Healing brings the bread of God's children simply means it is his will for you to be in health. Let me take that again. Healing being the children's bread is a sign that it is God's will for you to be in good health. 3 John and verse 2, what does he say? He says, I wish above all things, above everything, that thou mayest prosper and what? And be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to be in health. God wants you well. He doesn't want you sick one more second, not even one more day, one more second of your life. He doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you sick. So there are a lot of people that believe that, oh, if it is God's will, he will heal me. If it's not God's will, he will not heal me. See, let us kill that lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell that God doesn't want you well. God wants you well. It is his will. The reason why Jesus came to die for you and I is simply because he wants us to have good health, amongst other things. Salvation is a complete package. It's not just so that we'll go to heaven. Yes, it's good, it's okay. But you can go to heaven before your time if you are not in good health. So healing is your bread. Healing is your bread. So I was saying that a lot of people believe that it is not God's will for me to be healed. So there was a day I woke up in the midnight and I don't even know what woke me up one time like that. I woke up and I couldn't sleep anymore. So I strongly believe it was the Holy Spirit. If I say the Holy Spirit, I'm now saying. So I picked up my phone. The Holy Spirit said, pick up your phone. Usually I want to maybe I should pray or maybe I should not. This was like some few years ago. So I picked up my phone. I went on Instagram, on WhatsApp, and he just directed me to one lady. Her name is, okay, let me see her name. She directed me to one lady, and I sent her a message, how are you? And she said, I'm not fine. What's going on? Long story short, she was going through something very crazy. She was in pain in the midnight, and she couldn't go to the hospital. I can't even remember the name of what the disease was. Whatever. She was going through something very serious. She could even barely talk. So at that time, I didn't know that whether you have faith or not, if I pray for you, you will be healed. I didn't know. I thought, the receiver too must have strong faith. So I was trying to build up her faith. So I started, you know me, I like to talk about God. So I started preach. Apparently, she attends a white garment church where they would tell them, if it is the will of God, you will be healed. There's something they usually hold on to every now and then. Faith, F-A-T-E. Right? So that was what she believed, that there's no way I can be healed. I've been battling these things since I was a child. So I began to show her scriptures. I began to show her, I think the major scripture I showed her was 1 John 5:14, that this is the confidence we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, yeah, whatever we are positioned for. Right? So I showed her that scripture, and then she began to, entertain the message of life that I was preaching to her. So I got her to that point, and I said, so would you like me to pray for you? I know that when I pray for you, you'll be healed. She said, okay, she believes she can be healed. I prayed for this lady over the phone, guys, over the phone, and she got healed. She got healed. Something she has been battling since she was a kid. She got healed. Until today, she is still alive and well. The only thing is that she supports Chelsea. I don't even talk to her anymore. Why would she be supporting Chelsea? Anyways, healing is the will of God for your life. Don't let us go from God. God wants you well. So you allow the devil to keep robbing you of good health. The moment you start to believe it is not God's will for you to be healed, you are opening yourself up to the devil to rob you. The moment you start believing that, it is not God's will for me to be healed, it is God's will for you to be healed. It is God's will for you to be healed. There is nothing Jesus will not do to get... No. I take that back. There is nothing Jesus has not done to get you healed. There is absolutely nothing. It's not something he will do. He's about to do. He has already done it. Say, Jesus has done it. I am healed. Healing is my bread. Jesus has done it. There is nothing he has not done. There is absolutely nothing he has not done. The woman that received that healing on behalf of her daughter didn't deserve it. But she got it all the same. Now we, you and I, because we are the children of God, we deserve it. This we read it in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 13. How Jesus was in the beginning was word, blah, 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 to verse 13. Because we have been given adoption to sonship. Healing is our bread. Healing is our portion. We deserve it. Amen. Praise God. So, the woman, right? The woman was a Gentile, but glory to God. Healing doesn't have anything to do with your state of origin or your nationality, as the case may be. It only has to do with the kingdom with which you represent. And the kingdom we represent, the kingdom we belong to, is the kingdom of God. See, it is only my body that is in Nigeria. It is only my body that is Nigerian. So you see, my spirit and my head, it is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. Healing is our bread. Healing is our bread. The Bible says in Romans 1:16 that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to those who believe. First to the Jews and then to the Gentiles." Verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith." So whether Jew, Greek, Latin, whatever you are, healing is your portion. So three things you must be confident about. Three things you must be very confident about that you can use your hand to beat your chest. Just where I can use my hand to beat my chest, I'm a Manchester United fan. Even though we are going through turbulent times right now, I am a Manchester United fan. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. I've been stuck with this club for years, and there ain't no going back. My fellow United fan, can you say amen? Amen. We are not... So you guys are much like this. Amazing. 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 So three things you must hold dearly, you must be confident about. Number one, healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. Let me give you some scriptures. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And then there is Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 to 14. Shall you see that Hebrews? We are going to read it. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 12 to 14 says, "And not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once for all into the most holy place, obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow sprinkled on those who were defiled sanctified them for ritual purity of the flesh, how much more the blood of Jesus?" How much more the blood of Christ? "Who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God." Healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. There is absolutely no sin that doesn't have its own consequences. No sin. If anything is a sin, there is a law against it, and you are going to face the law. "Oh, well, I don't know about my dear country." But you understand what I mean? Healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. We will see this severally in Leviticus and some other parts of the Old Testament. It's the same in the New, but there was a difference between what happened in the Old and in the New. In the Old Testament, they would kill goats just for a little while. Somebody say, just for a little while.
It will wipe your sins away just for a little while. But guess what God did? Out of his love, out of his compassion, out of his grace, do you know what he did? He sent his only, one and only son to atone for our sins once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. So you don't have to present yourself before a priest and say, ah, this is my goal to, I just killed somebody yesterday, so I want to ask for forgiveness or something. Quickly, let me kill it. So that, and then, keep me calm. You know what Jesus did? He cleared it all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our troubles. He nailed it to himself. There is healing in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. Hallelujah. He wanted us cleansed from sin, guilt, and unrighteousness once for all. For that to be done, he sent Jesus as an atonement for our sins through the shedding of his blood. Romans chapter 3 from verse 23 to 25. Also, Isaiah chapter 53, which is my favorite healing scripture. Verse 3. Okay, so, yeah, Isaiah 53, right. But the one I want us to see now is Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He says, he was despised. Kai! Everybody say, Kai! My Jesus was despised. Say it now. My Jesus was despised. Good. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering who knew what sickness was. Hold on to that. He knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. The part I want to focus on. A man of suffering. He knew what sickness was. Jesus knew what sickness was so that we will not know what sickness is. God doesn't want you to know what he doesn't want you to know jack about it. He doesn't want you to know jack about it. I'm sorry, I don't want to know about poverty if I'm rich. I just want to do my thing. He doesn't want you to know about it. He wants you to live in sound health. So number one, what was number one thing I said you should hold on to? We should be confident about. Healing is in the atonement. Number two, if you were healed, you are healed. You hold on to it like this. Like your life depends on it. If I was healed over 2,000 years ago, I am healed. Do you know that since they gave birth to me, whenever preachers are preaching, what they usually say is over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years, not they finish. But whatever the case is, over 10,000 years old, over 5,000 years old. If I was healed, I am healed. If I was healed, I am healed. If I was healed, I am healed. So if you were healed, you are healed. Isaiah 53. Please give me that scripture very quickly. I want us to read this scripture out loud. Isaiah 53. So, from verse, let me open my Bible. Isaiah 53, very quickly. Yes, from verse 4. From verse 4. I want us to read it together. From verse 4. Please, I want you to read it out loud. 1, 2, go. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Another translation says, we were. It's a past tense. It's in the past. Healing is not something Jesus is running in heaven. Angels are running in heaven. Let me mention somebody's name. Subelu Isiko. Where can we get another hand? Kiniko. No way. It has already been paid for. Fully paid for. It has already been sorted the moment Jesus went on the cross. Do you know why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God actually forsook him. God left him. Do you know why? He was smelling. Jesus was smelling. He was thinking. He was looking disgusting. He was something else. He was unholy at that point. Do you know why? Why God now left him because of that? Because God was seeing cancer, liver problems, kidney problems, headache. God was seeing sin, everything. God was seeing it. on Jesus. And we know that God cannot stand all of these things. So God left him. God turned his back. Say, I can't stand this. Don't you ever think healing is something so big that you need to beg God for? No! You were healed the moment Christ stepped into the scene. You were healed. Where? Past tense. You were healed. Don't let anybody deceive you. God detests sicknesses and diseases so much that he forsook his only son. Healing is not something angels are running around to get in heaven to get you. It has already been paid for. It is not something we are hoping it will happen. It is something that has already happened. Healing has already happened. Regardless of what you feel in your body, healing has already happened. You may not see the physical manifestation yet. Healing has already happened. Until you get to a point where what the doctors are saying doesn't make sense to you, you will not see the physical manifestation. Get the doctor's report. This doesn't make sense. This is not my body. Yeah, you see it, but me, I don't see it because we see through different lenses. Me, I see through the lens of the cross. You see through, what's that thing doctors use to see? Whatever it is that they use. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Oh my goodness. Healing is the children's bread. Can you imagine? Can you just think about that? That healing is my portion. Just take a moment to think about it. That healing is actually my portion. So whenever the devil tries to give me one symptoms, I can look him in the eyes and say, Ogbeniwa, something they worry you for it. Healing is my portion. Get out of here. Healing is your portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, never again should you believe false prophets. Whatever it is that they are. Never again believe them when they say, bring a cow, bring a ram. Let us slaughter it for you so that you get healed. They will use your ram to eat and do as soon. And if I pass where they are doing it, I will eat out of it. And I will tell them, I warned you that healing is your bread. That you are the one looking for what is not lost. Healing is your bread. You don't need anybody to kill goats. You don't need anybody to kill ram. You don't need anybody to kill anything for you. There is no sacrifice that can be paid that will be greater than the sacrifice that King Jesus paid on the cross. There is no sacrifice. There is nobody greater than the King of Kings in the world. So we used to say the greatest of all lamp, right? Greatest of all time. G-O-T. Goat. My greatest of all time is not a goat. It's a lamp. The greatest of all time for me is a lamp. Goats are stubborn. They are stubborn. But Jesus, gentle, meek, and at the same time, if you do anyhow, you see anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, healing is my portion. Healing is my portion. Hallelujah. So number one, I said what? Number two. Good. Before I go to number three, So when I was writing this one, so as I was thinking about all of these things, so this one jumped at me. And it was so funny. And I was saying, that's true. So let me just say, your healing is not Baba's way that stopped downloading at 23%. Your healing is 100% completed. Your healing is 100% completed. It's not some, no. Completed. Finished. So I used to upload jobs on Google Drive a lot. Sometimes I upload jobs that are as large as 10 gig, 12 gig, 8 gig. In fact, I have like maybe 30-something gig of jobs that I need to upload now. And MTN has been giving us, where is Brainiac? He was crying on his status yesterday. So when we are uploading like that and the network misbehaves, even if it is on 99%, my dear, you start from the scratch. You start from, if you're uploading a 20 gig file and it's 99%, you say, 99%, this client will leave me alone. And then MTN just disappears. It just changes from 4G to E. And then you're like, So let me tell you what I used to do. I'll say, promise, say MTN, they go for your phone. MTN, they go for your phone. He will say, got me MTN. I'll say, put on your hotspot. By the time I disconnect from my own hotspot to connect to his own, everybody say, oh, dear Lord. I will now start from the scratch again. That is
That is that would if Jesus, if the case of Jesus was like that, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today. Jesus, the God uploading Jesus on the cross didn't stop at 23% or 59 or 99.999%. 100 to the full. To the full. Number three, God loves me so much that he cannot put sickness on me to kill or punish me. God loves me so much that he cannot put sickness on me to kill or punish me. How many of you here, sincerely, you are in a relationship? Not situationship, relationship. Would do something very bad. Wait, is sickness very bad? Since I've been talking. Is sickness very bad? Now, how many of you, but you are good people, right? And sickness is bad. So how many of you would take sickness or something bad, very bad, and put it on your partner because because you want to punish them? Something very bad as sickness. Raise your hand. There are some ladies like that. Raise your hand. Better raise your hand. Guys, Nko. Nobody would do that. How much more God? Why would God send Jesus? So let me tell you what happened. Jesus selected people. He said, you come. 12 people. And he gave them, I'm not bringing them money. So don't think I'm going. And he gave them, take authority to drive out impure spirits. Take authority to cure cancer. Take authority to raise the dead. Take authority to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How will that same Jesus, because you committed a sin, he will now come and say, because I have given you authority now, you want to be misusing it. Oh yeah, take cancer. Please tell me, I beg you, please tell me, does that make any sense? God will never do that. The reason why I talked about the goodness of God earlier was simply because I wanted you to know that God is so good. He will never use something he destroys on a daily to destroy you. He will never do that. God is so good. God is so good. There's a particular scripture I love. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Please help me, media. Romans 8. Come and see. You see that even sickness cannot separate you from the love that God has for you. Romans 8. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Next. As it is written. We didn't start that scripture from the top. Is that everything? That can be everything. Wait. Okay, go to verse 35. Okay. Yeah. I'm still on track. Thank you. Now, 36. 36 very quickly. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Next. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death itself, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor this present, nor this to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God. The love God has for you is so solid. There is absolutely nothing in this world that can separate it. Nothing. God is a good God. Every part of God's body that you touch is good. God is a good God. He is so good. I am good and I call him good. God is a good God. If you are not, take this. God is a good God. See, just God is good is enough to settle you for life. Do you know why? When something happens to you, you say God is good. Regardless of what happens to me, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. You also need to understand. So I'm trying to skip some things because of my time. So the reason why you think it was God that inflicted you with sickness, it's simply because of how God turns the situation around for your good. So let me explain. So when you fall sick now, and when you fall sick, and somehow, God just comes, God shows up, and he turns the situation around, and everything becomes good for you. That is the reason why you think that, oh, it was God that put that sickness there, so that you will kinikon. No. Devil is the doer of bad works. He is the doer of bad works. God is the doer of good works. So when the devil comes and he inflicts you with sicknesses and diseases, God steps in. By the time God steps in, he turns the situation around for your good. Do you know why? So that his scripture in Romans 8:18 will be fulfilled. For all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:18. Because everything works together. So it must be fulfilled. All things must work together for your good. So God was not the one that put the sickness there. It was not God that killed Lazarus. It was not God. Yes, God turned the situation around. I'm sure you are wondering, so why didn't God prevent him from dying? Yes, God could have done that. Are you God? God could have prevented him from dying. Quite all right. Right? But guess what? God gets more glory when he saves us in the grave than when he saves us from the grave. When he prevents you from entering into the pit, he gets glory. Quite all right. But there is more glory when he gets you out of that pit. God going to the tomb of Lazarus and saying, Lazarus, somebody has been dead for 4 days. Imagine the glory that he got. Do you know what happened after that time? Jesus preached and a lot of people believed him. People that were doubting before. In that same place, let me tell you what happened. In that same place, Jesus left earlier before they told him that Lazarus was dead. When he was going there, disciples told him, Master, you are going back to where they want to stone you. They wanted to stone you. Jesus said, let's go. In my Bible, I even wrote it. I wrote, we go again. Jesus said, we go again. He told disciples, we go again. Jesus didn't say that though. I'm adding my own, you get. Jesus said, we go again. Jesus went back to that same place where they were trying to stone him. The same people that were trying to stone him because God raised Lazarus from the dead. They believed the gospel. God gets more glory when he saves you in the fire than when he saves you from the fire. God could have prevented the Hebrew boys from entering into the fire. He could have shut the gate so that 1 million people will go to the gate. They will be trying to pull it. The gate will not open. They will try to light the fire. It will not come up. God can do that. But guess what? God wants to get glory. He wants to get more glory. There is more glory in the furnace. There is more glory. The Bible says in Romans 8:18 that was displayed now, for our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Turn to your neighbor, say, glory is coming. Glory is coming. God gets more glory when he saves you. Saves you in the furnace than when he saves you from it. Hallelujah. He gets more glory that way. He gets more glory that way. Oh, the words of Joseph in Genesis 50, 20. He said that. So his brothers, they because of hate and all of those things, they robbed him they sold him to become a slave. The plan was to kill him. Right? The plan was to kill him. And he suffered. He went to prison. So look. I'm not even scared to say this. And I'm saying with all boldness. It was not God that sent Joseph to the prison. The devil did. But guess what God did? He turned it around. Genesis 50, 20. He says that, but as for you, devil borrowed his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. God is a good God. God is too good to be inflicting you with sicknesses and diseases. It's too good. That God brought you out of the sickness meant to kill you doesn't mean it was God that put the sickness there. When Jesus met the sister of Lazarus, when she told him, oh, my brother is sick, blah, 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 Jesus waited extra days. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death. Death was what the devil meant it for.
Because that is his area of that is what he does. He's a specialist in killing people. He's an assassin. John 10:10. The thief does what? Steal to kill and to destroy. Come, steal, kill, destroy. Kill, steal, destroy. Destroy, still destroying him. Guess what happened? But there's a change of direction. But Jesus said, But I am come that you may have life. God has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That was what happened in the story of Lazarus. The devil wanted to perform his assignment, what he knows how to do best, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am stepping into the scene, and this boy is going to have life. So he went to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he did, he got glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the situation may linger for a little while. And some people may also be wondering, why didn't God prevent this guy from dying? The truth of the matter is that the time God shows up is the right time for the miracle to happen. Because God is always on time. He is never late. He is never late. He is never late. Whether he saves you in the fire or he saves you from the fire, whichever way he wants to save you, I am putting it to you that sickness, that pain, that disease is not unto death. God is going to step in and is going to bring life to your body in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, how shall not that same spirit that raised him from the dead not quicken your mortal body? If the spirit of Christ is in you this morning, I decree and I declare over your life that situation will not be unto death in the name of Jesus. That situation will be unto life in the name of Jesus. I decree that you will come to this altar and you will testify. On behalf of your family member, you will testify in the name of Jesus. You must have this confident assurance that no matter what, God will come for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, no matter what, God will come for me. Oh, I remember a series I used to watch at the time, C. How many of you have seen C? That movie, amazing people. So, there was a scene. There's a guy called Alan. I can't really remember the story like that. But I remember this particular scene. So, there's a guy called Alan. So, Alan and Aniwa ended up in the camp of the enemy. They ended up in the camp of the enemy. So Aniwa as a father, not a biological father, but father. I mean, the man has been fathering her since they gave birth to her and all of that. So they were camped in this place. For example, now imagine Folake going to, maybe something happened and she stands up and says, I'm going to this park. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm going to fight. Can you imagine that? What will become of her? Don't say what will become of her. Me now, I can go. Right? Because, show you the wine muscle. Right? So that was how it was. So Alan was telling, and Aniwa was saying, my father will come for me. Because her dad is a warrior. She said, my father will come for me. My father will come. Alan said, no way. How will he even enter this place? Number one, your father is blind. Right? He's a blind man. And in that place, there are people that can see. So, how do you want to break the gates of these people? And you're saying your father will come. She said, she was saying it with so much confidence. I almost got teary, but they have not shot that movie that will make me cry. Maybe Ebenezer is writing the script, I don't know, but that movie that will make me cry. So, I was moved to tears. I was almost crying, but I didn't cry. But that part really touched me. She said, my father is coming. Allah said, oh, better let us fight. So, that all this thing, she said, my father is coming. Guess what happened? She just, Baba Voss just said, Aniwa, Aniwa. I said, that's my father. I'm putting it to you this morning that no matter how tight the security of the devil is, your father, good God, is coming for you. And just like Aniwa, the confident assurance that she had that Baba Voss will come for me. You must have that confident assurance that God is coming for you. God is coming for you. Hallelujah.
God is coming for you. And he's not coming for you to... So there's this language that he said that, I'm coming for you, I will come for your head. No, God is not coming for your head, though. If he comes for your head, he's coming to give you more sense and wisdom and understanding. God is coming to do you good. So let me move to the next point very quickly. How to maintain your health. Now, I didn't say how to have health because you already have it. You have good health. You have good, whether you feel it in your body or not, you have good health. So how to maintain your health? Number one, know the ways the devil attacks and protect yourself against him. You will be deceiving yourself if you think the devil is not real. You will see, I'm going back to what I said earlier. The devil is realer than you can imagine. If there's anyone like, yeah, he's realer now. The devil is so real. So you, and he attacks. The devil is real. He's not just real. He is real and he attacks. So you must know how he attacks and protect yourself. If I know how I wanted to say, if I know how Man City attacks, but those ones, whether they attack or whether they not attack, you go chop them. I didn't even know. I didn't even know. But on the most serious note, when if you watch football, you know, when a team has a particular way of playing, what their opponent does is that they go and study it. Okay, this is how they attack. They use Vinicius. They use Rodrigo. Bellingham will come from the middle. Toni Kroos will lay that pass. So who are the people that we are going to put? We cannot afford to put De Sassi. We cannot afford to put Chaloba. We cannot afford to put Thiago Silva. I like Thiago Silva, but it's not my business. He's playing for Chelsea. He's come and play for you. If we cannot afford to put, they will say, let us put players like Lisandro Martinez. Let us put players like Rudiger. Let us put players like you get what I mean? Fullbacks like, don't let me say the fullbacks. There's somebody here. If I mention the fullback's name, he will shout at me. Let us put fullbacks like Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Ojukwu, do your worst. So you protect yourself. They protect themselves like that because they know how they attack. If you know how the devil attacks, you know how to protect yourself. You'll be deceiving yourself if you think the devil doesn't attack. Jesus was attacked by the devil. So wait, before they go and cut it on social media and post it and dragging me on Twitter. Jesus was attacked, but the devil did not overcome. In Matthew 4:4, he first of all said, if you are the son, do you know what the devil does? He will attack you and use the scripture to back it up and make it look like he's God. He will put the word of God inside it. All the time that he tempted Jesus, he was using the word of God. He says, turn this stone to bread. Shebi, it has already been written in Isaiah that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus also responded with what? With the word of God. With the word of God. Jesus knew how he was going to attack, so he was ready. He was living ready. You cannot afford to be prepare for war in time of war person. Anyway, don't let me get ahead of myself. So Jesus himself was attacked by the devil, but he kept on failing and failing and failing and failing. The attacks of the devil is not a respecter of the anointing of God upon your life. The devil doesn't have any regard for your anointing if you don't use it well. Jesus was Acts 10:38. How God anoint God himself. You know that in Old Testament, they will say that Aaron, this one will bring maybe a prophet will say, this is the next king. Let's for example now. Samuel brought Saul and said, okay, this is the next king. He put one oil inside one jar, poured it on his head. Yeah, God was there and all of those things, right? But you cannot compare the anointing that God himself, imagine God himself coming down from heaven and he anoints you. That was the kind of anointing Jesus had. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that our presence there because God was with him. Now, imagine that same anointed Jesus being attacked by the devil, being waylaid by the devil. How much more you? I'm not saying you are not anointed, though. But the devil doesn't respect your anointing. He doesn't. He doesn't care whether you are anointed or not. He comes for you regardless. He comes for you regardless. David was anointed. Yes, he fell for the attack of the devil. He slept with woman. Women. Better fear. Women. Guess what? Jesus was attacked through the mouth of Peter. You can even devil, oh son, holy gone.
Like you see Peter, he was speaking through Peter. He says, man, you cannot die now. Jesus said, already shut up your mouth. I cannot die, King. Shut up your mouth. Jesus sent him away. The devil will use anything and anybody to attack you. So you must know how he attacks. The devil, for some people, it is women. Anything under skirt. Women don't wear trousers. Women, sir. Some people, it's women. Guess what? Some women, it is women. Some men, it is men that turns their head. When they see men like this. What? Let me share an experience with you. So, I see this on my contact list. So I didn't block him because I thought when I'm beginning to preach the word of God on my status, it will see and it will receive the power of God. So one day, was it the sneakers I was wearing? No. I was putting on a Jordan 1 Nike, yeah, I remember. So I put on a Nike snack at the hotel, 2022, right? And this guy, so it was a 3-day event, right? Me, I was a photographer, I was just doing my thing, you know, big boy, I would just snap, I would just go back to my seat, all of those things. When they are even eating me, I know they do all those things, I just... So the guy was looking at me, was doing some registration, can you come by the desk? Me, what's my own business? Why would I be looking like a guy? So the guy kept looking at me. He kept looking at me, and it was becoming so hearing for me. I said, what's wrong with this guy? So at the end of, so first day, he was looking at me. Second day, he was, so I thought it was because of my sneakers. I said, but is this same Jordan 1, black and ash Jordan 1 now? There's nothing, and guess what? The guy was wearing even more crazier sneakers than what I was putting on. I said, so what's wrong with this boy? If you have this kind of sneakers, that means you know this. So why are you looking at me? So the guy kept looking at me. First day, he was looking. Second day, he was looking. Third day, he was looking. So the third day was the grand finale. He just came to me. He said, what's up, man? I mean, like I'm very friendly. I said, my bro, what's good? How is it doing? Can you come? Has it been? I was saying, yeah, it's good. He was saying, yeah, so you're a photographer. In my mind, I was like, day one, you saw me taking pictures. Day two, you saw me taking pictures. Day three, you saw me taking pictures. You come to me again and say that I'm a photographer. No, I'm a fisher of men. He said, so what's my Instagram man do? I said, okay. So maybe one network now. I said, okay. And that time I was planning to move to Lagos. You know how you have plans, and God will say, oh, Yoni, sit down there. So that year, 2022 now, I was trying to move to Lagos. Say, Lagos, yeah? So I was trying to network with different people. I said, okay, sure. So the guy got my Instagram and do, my time is moving. The guy got my Instagram and do, and then he followed me on Instagram. Immediately, he said, follow me. I said, sure. Hey, I've not left that place. Before that guy sent me a message, he sent me a message. How are you? You're not too tired. Can you call? You know, but you're a guy, and you know I'm a guy. She guy, they check up on guy like that. Me. Do you understand? I was asking questions in my mind, but you know, I was just thinking, maybe it's just a. Do you get? So he was asking, first thing, me, I don't even reply because when I get better, this is where they do my life. So he, and then, now, this way I knew that, okay, there's a problem. First day, he sent message. I did not reply. Second day, he sent message again. I did not reply. Third day, he now sent message again. Guy. Kilo fe. So eventually, I said, I'm so sorry. I've been busy with blah, 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 blah. He said, okay, no problem. Get go. So he was trying to get to know me. My guys, may guy not get to know you. Honestly, do you know that? This thing. So this was the first time I experienced something like that. Daddy, I think I was angry. Everything just flew out there. So the guy started asking questions. What do you do? All of those silly questions that you ask a woman asking me. So me, I was asking what happened. The tech guy, none of those things. So he said, I've been looking at him. God is my witness. If I go to my Instagram, my business with Polarity Visuals, I can bring that. If you want that chat, come to my DM. I'll give you. I promise I'll give you. I know Kumi will come. So the guy came and he said, I'm going to lose line of thought, Mio. Okay. So he was saying that that I was looking at him. That why didn't I greet him the first day, second day? I said, me looking at you. Maybe because how they take picture. I was not looking at you. You know when we are so sure of something that if you stammer me to say it, I was at the time. I was not looking at you. Me, my guys know me. Me, look at man. Like, with all the... God bless women. God bless... You guys are super amazing. to be honest, I like to spend time with. Okay, don't let me say it. So that before they start saying, kinikon now. Same thing. So the guy was asking all of these questions. I said, I was not looking at you. He said, so why didn't I greet him first? I said, I don't even have time. I don't see anybody when I'm taking pictures. I'm a crazy person. He told me that I was trying to sound professor. I'm a crazy person when I'm taking pictures. I like to just focus on all those things. The guy said, eh. Do you like me? Eh. My guys can be a witness now. So I left the message for like a day. I left it. I said, do I like you? What do you mean by it? Do I like you? He said, do you like me? Like, so me, I knew where he was going. Right? Before the foundation of the world, I already knew that this guy has an agenda. So may I ask this straight now? I said, I said, are you gay? Guys, I'm telling you, this was dissolving my head for days. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry, are you gay? He said, you have not heard, you never hear anything. He said, nah. Wait, let me land. Nah, I am bi. Hey, I'm telling you, if you have my number, DM me, I will send you that chat. God is my witness. I said, you are bi. In my mind, I was like, bye-bye. Me now. So because I can be very soft. I was not pitying him. This guy came to the wrong person. Because if you know my track record, me, guy, you won't come to me. So I was pitying him. This boy now, you're not good to a fire. So I was trying to even say, I'm not to say, I said, I am straight as a ruler. Like, ruler. You know, ruler. Have you ever seen a bench ruler before? If that ruler is... I don't think you are okay. Where? Where do you school? Okay, school in FSS. Oh, she's school in FSS. Okay, yeah. Mio, you should understand what I'm saying. I said, I'm very straight. And I said, oh, okay, cool, no problem. He now sent me a message some days after that he's coming to Ibadan, that he's coming to ICC, that he has an event there. Can you call that? If I'm chanced. I said, I'm not chanced. May I never be chanced. So I will now go for that event. He will now say, don't even let me demonstrate it. Because it's irritating. Like a man united. So where did I stop now? My time is gone. Hey, God, dude. Okay, so I was talking about the anointing. And I was talking about how the devil attacks us. Please tell me how I got here now. Yes! For some people it's men. Some people it's women. Protect yourself. I can't spend too much time on that anymore. But I believe you have invested. Number two. Prepare for war. Yeah, so I'm just going to read these things. Prepare for war in time of peace. In other words, you put on the shield of faith in the day of peace. Before the devil starts firing, he's fearing that. In Ephesians chapter, write the scripture down. He's talking about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And then one of the verses says that we should put on the shield of faith so that we're able to reject. You get what I mean? So prepare for war in time of peace. So how do you prepare for war in time of peace? Like when the person is healing. Make healing scriptures a part of your everyday confession, regardless of what your health is saying. Whether your health is good, whether your health is not too good, make healing scriptures a part of your daily routine. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20-22 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their body. You can confess the word of God long enough that when the enemy comes trying to fire, when the enemy comes to Jesus and he was trying to fire temptation at him, Jesus was returning, was rejecting all those things by the word of God. Store up the word of God in your heart so much so that when the devil comes, he's shooting, but the thing is bouncing back. That's why David said, it is your word that I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. In other words, I have hidden your word in my heart such that when the day of evil comes, I can stand and say that no. You'll be able to say no. The next one is, prepare for one time of peace. Number three, have the fear of God. Have the fear of God. That's how to maintain your health. That is how to maintain your health. You may be looking at how does this thing connect. Well, if it connects in the Bible, I will connect it. Give me Psalm 34. No, give me Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. Very quickly, please. Proverbs 3, 7. He says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, but me, I would say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of healing. Have the fear of the Lord. Another scripture is Proverbs 19, 21. And then another scripture is Psalm 34 and verse 7. I promise you I'm running now. Please pardon me. I'm so sorry. Okay, so the only access the devil has to your life is the access you give him through your fear of him. When you begin to fear the devil more than you fear, when you begin to fear the devil, I have a testimony I wanted to share, but I can't share it anymore. Number four. So number three, I said that have the fear of the Lord to maintain your health. Number four, worship must be your lifestyle. Worship must be your lifestyle. So I'm not talking about the worship we do every Sunday. We come up, lift up holy hands and all of those things. The kind of worship I'm talking about is the one the Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. He says, worship the Lord your God and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The kind of worship I'm talking about is presenting your body, letting your body worship God as a living sacrifice. Worship is do not worship any God aside the God of heaven. Worshipping another God is not even evil. It's not about setting a bar up and pouring palm oil on it every morning. It's not even, that's not what I'm talking about. You know that shoes can be your God. There was a time that Nike sneakers, I cannot take my eyes off it. There was a time, Ebenezer and I went to the store to where we used to buy sneakers. And I think I bought 4 pairs of sneakers or 3 pairs of sneakers. So sometimes, and then God will say, give that one out. And you say, for where? No. That thing has become your God. God must be your God, not things. When you begin to prioritize other things, that thing has become your God. Last but not the least, eat healthy, drink healthy. Hallelujah. Eat healthy, drink healthy. Turn to your neighbor, say, eat healthy, drink healthy. So the kind of eating healthy and drinking healthy is not the one that you're thinking about. But let me just drop this here. It's okay. Eat healthy, actually. Eat good food. I'm not talking about the word of God, right? I'm talking about good food. Eat good food. Ah, Paul, I'm preaching this thing to myself. Hey, Ebenezer. God is saying we should eat good food. And we should be eating consistently. Emmanuel, God is saying we should be eating good food. Eat good food. You are working. Okay, what are you using money to do? Do you want to, data? Skyscraper? Spotty? Eat. Do you understand? Because by the time you are spot, you are stocking up, and you are not eating well. It's gonna your health is going to. I pray that it's not happening to you, but eat well. But the eat healthy I'm not talking about is the communion. Let's open our Bible. Let's just open our feet very quickly. The communion. Oh. Hallelujah. The communion. Jesus said to them in John chapter 6 from verse 53 and verse 58. Please pay attention. He says, Jesus said unto them, verily, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, ushers, please let us bring the communion. Whoever eats my flesh, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Last verse. This is that bread which came from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna This one is different from manna. The bread we are about to take now, because it has been sanctified by the Holy Ghost, so better since we sanctified right now, is different from manna. It is the bread of life. The manna they ate at that time was just for a little while, just to sanctify them for a few days. But this bread is the bread of life. Not as your father did eat and are dead. The people that ate it at that time are dead by now. He that eateth of this particular bread shall live forevermore. Hallelujah. He that eat of this particular bread shall live forevermore. He that eat of this particular bread shall live forevermore. I don't know about you, but I want to live forevermore. I want to reign with the Lord. I want to reign with the Lord. I want to reign with the Lord. So for you to eat of this bread, you need to be born again. I want all eyes closed right now, even as we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Mali Kambodi and the Lielebosa. In the libre de gesembre de bosa. If you want to eat of this bread of life, I'm presenting to you this morning the gospel of life. The gospel of life, the gospel of life, the gospel of life. Are you thirsty this morning? Come and drink of this blood. Are you weary this morning? Come and drink of this blood. Come and drink of this blood. Come and drink of this blood. Church, I want to hear you just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Malim brede geski de liye le bousa. Rabades en de liye le bousa. Malim brede vodosu ge de liye le bousa. Can you begin to pray that as you take this body and as you take his bread, healing is restored in your body in the name of Jesus. Even if you are not healed before, you can trust God for the healing of your family member. Because the power of God can move anywhere, at any place, at any time. Mali pray against the daily elbows. Can you say this sickness is not going to be unto death? You can mention that person's name. Say this sickness is not going to be unto death in the name of Jesus. My dear uncle, I decree and I declare over your life that that diagnosis that you have received from the doctor will not be unto death. We are going to glorify God through it in the name of Jesus. Uncle, you will not die. We will live to fulfill the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the name of Jesus. Can you pray some more this morning? Can you begin to decree what you want to see in your body? Do you know that? Amen. Do you know that healing is not only about your body? It can be your finance. It can be your career. Maybe there is dryness. You can ask that the Lord will cause the floodgate of heaven to pour out rivers of living water. Lift up your voice. Whatever has been dead, Jesus, God said to Ezekiel, speak to this dry bone. Is there a dry bone in your life? Can you speak to it this morning? Can you lift up your voice? Please, can you pray so you can hear yourself? Hear yourself pray this morning. Hear yourself pray this morning. Libre de que y alabasa. Isa da da basa. Eke libre de alabasa. Hazada bada da bala gazande. This sickness is not going to be unto death. This sickness is not going to be unto death. This sickness is not going to be unto death. Can you say, I decree life in the name of Jesus? If there is any part of your body where you need healing, you can touch it and you will feel the power of God move in the name of Jesus. Can you touch that part of your body? Be it your eyes, your nose, your ears, wherever it is, touch it and send that thing out, because healing is your bread. Healing is your bread. Healing is your bread.